Okay, good morning. Baruch Hashem, this Shabbos we have the special opportunity to learn and read Parshios Matos and Maaseh and finish the entire Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar flew by. It flew by in many ways. There are many, many double Parshios, and it's really, in many ways, the last Parsha in the entire Torah, as Devarim is a rehashing. It's a repetition in many ways. We'll discuss that Be'ezrat Hashem tonight, how this is a finality on the Torah and what that means. This double parsha also is the longest double parsha in the entire Torah. It is the longest amount of psukim that we're going to read. I think it's about 234. Maybe Rabbi Weintraub can correct me. I think it was about 234, 244. In that range, Baruch Hashem, and we missed Kriyas HaTorah for so many months. I look forward to savoring and listening to every single word of Kriyas HaTorah. And the Parshios are rich with so many different moments. I'll share with you one. There's only one time in the entire Torah that we have a Yahrzeit. Now, Yahrzeit is a very big thing within the Jewish calendar. For those that lost a loved one, lost a relative, Yahrzeit is a very important day on the calendar. There's only one Yahrzeit in the entire Torah, and it's mentioned in Parshas Maaseh. You know whose Yahrzeit is the only Yahrzeit in the Torah? And it's a Shkacha practice that it works out this way. This Shabbos, we're going to be benching Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av is the fifth month, right? It's the Som HaChamishi. It's the fifth month from Nisan, Nisan being the first. The Torah tells us that Aaron HaKohen died on Rosh Chodesh Av, the fifth month. The Torah doesn't tell us that in Parshas Chukas, where he actually died. It only tells us now. It's such a shkacha practice because invariably, almost every single year, we lay Maaseh, not every, but kimat every year, we lay Maaseh on the same Shabbos that we bench Rosh Chodesh Av. Right? Next week, Rosh Chodesh is Wednesday. That's a plug, Mendy, for Lunch and Learn next week. Buy your raffle tickets with Mendy, right? That is next week. And it always works out, Hashkacha Pratis, the same way. And why Aaron HaKohen, why is he the one that is Rosh Chodesh Av? He was all about Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. He was a lover of the Jewish people. And that's what we need more than ever during this time that we're in, during the 3 weeks. We need to feel the love and the connection, the chibor, the ava schinam of Klal Yisrael, to not be judgmental, to overlook mistakes and challenge, and really be loving and caring to each and every Jew. And that's where you begin.
Why are we? I think once or twice they tell us about Rosh Chodesh Av, the fifth month, Aaron passed away. He was Nifta. Why not anything about Miriam? We only know Miriam died. There's nothing about when, where, how, what.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, we don't know when Moshe died. We don't know when Avraham died. We don't have a date. The only person, you know, we have the date for. He's the only person. We don't know when Yitzhak died.
Okay.
Yitzhak is actually a veiled reference. Yeah. We know when Yaakov died. We can tell you it's Parshas Vayechi. We can tell you how he died. But we have no idea when he died. Right? It's, I think it's something to think about. So let's begin Parshas Matos with Rav Moshe Feinstein. This is a classic Rav Moshe. I mean classic by, this is quoted often by his students and by his, many, many years later. Rav Moshe Feinstein points out the following. In Parshas Matos, we learn many halachos. We learn the halachos of nedarim, of making vows. And after Nidarim, we learn about the spoils of the war. The Jewish people go to war against Midian, and they win a war. And when they win the war, they take back all of these spoils from Midian. Why is that? Why is that important? Because we learn two very important halachos from this. Number one, we learn that if you have non-kosher kelim, which is what they got. They got all these pots and pans from Midian. We learn that they need to be kashered. That there's a concept called tam ki'ikar, that within the walls of the pot, there's treif food. We wouldn't have said that instinctively, but the Torah teaches us that. Secondly, we learn about tvilas kelim, that you can tovel your kelim. You have to tovel your kelim that are purchased from non-Jews. And these are two of the halachas that Moshe taught at this moment. To present this halacha of that there's treif in the walls of the kelim, the Torah begins this with the word zos chukas ha-Torah. These are the statutes, the laws of the Torah. Where Moshe says, why, this is a random halacha within the world of kashrus. Why is this like the law, the statute, the principle of the Torah? So Moshe says something here, which is very, very fascinating. He says there's a principle within this halacha that we can extrapolate to the entire Torah. And presumably, any single time the Torah tells us the words, Zos Chukas HaTorah, there is something within that mitzvah in which we can learn to all of the mitzvot in the Torah. And he says here, what do we do to kasher a kli? Right? We do this usually before Pesach. We take our fork, it's a meat fork, and then we accidentally use it for some eggplant parmesan. So now it's treif. You have to put it into boiling water. Sometimes you have to use, not boiling water wouldn't be good enough. You have to use fire to remove the treif that is within the walls, within the crevices or inside the fork. So he says, you see from there something very valuable, that sometimes you can have somebody that is so foregone, that has made so many mistakes and so many errors and made poor decisions their entire life. Somebody that has become sullied with sins and averos, they have a way out. We never say that those averos are stuck to them forever. That is not true. That is not a Jewish concept. We learn now from the halacha of Hagala and from Liban, the methods of kashering, that just like pots can kasher, we can kasher pots, so too we can kasher ourselves. That we all have the ability to remove the schmutz from within ourselves, to remove the dirt, from within ourselves, because ultimately it is only dirt. It is only dirt, and it's something that is external to who we are. Our neshamos always stay. This sounds like a Hasidish Rebbe, what Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying. He was definitely not a Hasidish Rebbe, but what he is saying is our neshamos are never sullied. They never get dirty. Maybe above it, there's some dirt, but we can always use a vacuum. Sometimes a vacuum is good enough. Sometimes we need some good bleach. Sometimes we need to add some OxyClean or some shout and to get it out, but it always could be removed. That is a principle in the Torah that we learn out from the halacha of kashering kelim. Moving right along, we learn out from Nedarim. We'll go back from, we have a few short words and a few longer ideas today. So second, from the Chidush Harim. The Chidush Harim was the first Ger Rebbe. First Ger Rebbe died, passed away around the beginning of, in the middle of the 19th century, 1800s. And he says the following. We learned the first parsha we mentioned in Matos is Nedarim, the laws of taking vows. When does somebody take a vow? So the first time in the Torah we see somebody taking a vow is, who's the first person that makes a vow in the Torah? It's Yaakov Avinu. Vayidor Yaakov Neder. Yaakov Avinu makes a neder. Yaakov Pasach B'Neder Tchilo. What's a neder? A neder is when somebody has a moment of clarity, has a moment of inspiration, and wants to change and wants to grow. So what do? They make a neder. and they swear, they make a promise to Hashem, I am going to be different. I want to utilize this moment in my life to grow a little bit more and to make a proactive, meaningful change to my life. I mentioned this also this morning. We named the baby, and Shul, the Blackmans, had a baby girl. And I told him we owe him an aliyah, right? We owe you. I owe you to an aliyah because right now the Baal Kore is getting all the aliyahs. Why is it that we have chiyuvim? That, somebody is getting married, right? They get an aliyah. Somebody just finished Avelus, they get an aliyah. Has a baby, gone through a simcha, bar mitzvah, they get an aliyah. Why? What's this? Because that's a moment of aliyah. It's a moment of growth. And Chazal took that moment and they set a rabbi. I don't know if it's Chazal, where this comes from exactly, but they said, you know what? There's a moment of growth here. Any moment of transition in one's life, having children, having grandchildren, losing somebody, those are all moments of transition that we want to make, not just a moment of transition, we want to make them moments of transformation. So that's why we get an aliyah. Aliyah is symbolic of growth. Aliyah is symbolic of connecting more to Torah. Vayidur Yaakov Neder teaches us that the whole role of the Darim is for people to take extra things upon themselves in those moments in their lives. Third thought comes from a Simcha Zissel of Kelm, known as the Altar of Kelm. He says something very, very beautiful. He says like this: if you look in Parshas Maaseh, Parshas Maaseh begins with the 42 Masaos, the 42 travelings in the Midbar, the 42 different places that the Jewish people went to in the Midbar. And you have to ask yourself, who cares? Why are these significant, right? One thing that we love doing as, maybe not us, but we try to get somebody to do it. When we go away with our family on vacation, when we go on vacation ourselves, like one of the big things to do over the past 20 years is to make one of these like books, Snapfish books, or you make these books. Everybody makes these books. So, and you put in that book, not every picture, you put the highlights or the important moments that you have. You're not going to put into there the time that, your kids were screaming for ice cream, or that moment that you made the pit stop because everybody needed to use the restroom at that gas station, right? Like, that's insignificant on the way. And if you read the places that the Jewish people went to, many of them are insignificant. There's like almost nothing. What happened? I don't know. Nothing happened there. Why is that valuable? Why is that valuable? So if Simcha Zissel of Kelm adds the following question. He says, we learned a few months ago, actually our first year in the Rosh Chodesh series that we had was on Rachav. Rachav was a zona, was a prostitute, right? What did Rachav do? She was politically connected to many people. And when two spies came into the land of Israel to see what the mood was for the Jewish people, for the people of Jericho, they went to her. She saved their life. And for Mida Keneged Mida, as a reward for that, we saved hers. She eventually became a Gioras and a Nevi'ah. A Nevi'ah. And it's like, what'd you do? All she did was, not for nothing. She saved two people's lives, right? She gave them the ability to hide and sneak out through the back window. And like, okay, one reward's enough. We saved her life because she saved theirs. Hashem Nevuah? That's a gift from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So he says something very, very important here. He says here, it wasn't just that. It wasn't just saving these two people, which is amazing unto itself. It was more. She helped the Jewish people get into the land of Israel. She helped the Jewish people enter Eretz Israel. She made it a little bit easier for them to get there. And if you use this idea, and that within itself is something that we are tremendously thankful for, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu values tremendously, Eretz Yisrael. We're right now during the 3 weeks. It's scary to think, for the first time in our lives, if we wanted to, it wouldn't be so easy to get to Israel. People are clamoring to make Aliyah, made plans, and they can't go. They can't go. They can't make it there because the world is upside down. So we can use this idea, and we'll talk about this more over the next few weeks. You can use this idea to understand our question. Parshas Maaseh, 42 Maaseh, what's going on here? Why are these significant? The bathroom stops and no. Every step was one step closer to Eretz Yisrael. And that within itself is so, so special and valuable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is machshiv, recognizes and appreciates. The next idea comes from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. It's a fascinating idea. The Pasuk says, again, on the Masos and the travelings of Moshe Rabbeinu and of the Jewish people, the Pasuk says like this. When I read this Pasuk, you're going to say, oh, this is so obvious. Vayichtov Moshe es motzaehem lemasehem. Moshe writes down the motzaehem, their leavings and their comings, meaning in their travelings. Al pi Hashem, elemasehem, lemotzaehem. And these are their travelings, meaning these are their leavings and their comings and their goings. They were all pi Hashem. So what is Vayichtov Moshe? What is Vayichtov Moshe? Moshe wrote this down. What does that mean? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Shorech Ladas, Man Modienu, Akasav Abayim Razeh. What is the Pasuk teaching you that Moshe wrote them down? If it's a teacher that Moshe wrote down the entire Torah, hello, don't we know Moshe wrote down the entire Torah? You don't need this Pasuk to teach you that Moshe wrote down the entire Torah. Rather, Moshe had a Pinkas, right? Does anyone remember that? What the word Pinkas means? Claire, what's a Pinkas?
A notebook.
A little notebook. A journal. When I was in Yeshiva Flatbush, right, that's what our journals were called, a Pinkas. Everyone, Na Lavir to Pinkas Shalcha, Me'atik, Makasha, and that's the way it was. He says like this, Moshe, Shehischa Moshe, Lichtov v'Pinkaso, B'mitzvot HaMelech, Mi'yom Shetum Mitzrayim, Alzeh HaDerech, Yom Shetum Mitzrayim, Katzav Pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu had a journal that he took with him from the moment the Jewish people left Egypt till they entered the land of Israel, Ad Yom Moso. That's what the Pasuk means. Vayichta Moshe's Motzeim L'Masehem. Moshe, throughout the traveling in the Midbar, had a journal in which he wrote down everything. So what do we learn from that? That's the Or HaChaim HaKadosh's chiddush, novel approach. And number one, that's valuable. That's a valuable thing to do. It can be very healthy and a good break and outlet for people to have journals to share reflections on their lives. But additionally here, it wasn't just that. It was that Moshe had a moment and moments of inspiration in his life. And he didn't want to leave these moments of inspiration just to his memory and in his mind. Memory changes, memory people forget. That happens. Moshe wanted to write them down for posterity. He wanted to continue to be inspired by them, and he wanted his children to be inspired by them. How valuable it is, right, to write down a journal and write down one's memories in life, right? Rumor has it some of us on this call may have extra time on our hands, more than we used to have last year. Maybe it's important to have some time to write down some of our memories from our lives for ourselves, but also for our children and our grandchildren. We don't need to be great leaders and great rabbis and have these unbelievable stories for the press, but just even for the next generation.
Yes, Rabbi?
Yes.
Does the number 42, what additional significance does it have?
What
it has to be a why there were 42, Masayim. The number 42.
Kabbalistically, there's meaning here. Thank you.
Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
It also means within them.
Yeah.
So it's part of the Hafta. It's what I learned.
Oh, it's interesting. Okay.
It's a reminder about teaching, passing on your experience.
But why 42? Why 42?
Well, because in Gematria, it means within them, right? And that word is in the Vahafta.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
I don't know. It's something I learned.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank
it might be far-fetched, but that's a thought that somebody shared.
Membes.
Thank you, Rabbi.
We have to think about it more. Last idea. Skipping one. Go ahead.
What happened to five? Did we skip five, Rabbi?
Yes, okay. We skipped five.
Oh, we did?
Okay. We skipped five. Yeah. I'm happy someone's paying attention here. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I...
Claire, when we were talking, they just five.
Oh, we were talking and he went through five, but I missed it.
Yeah.
You have to get the notes from a friend. Yeah.
Wait, one second.
There's too many people talking at the same time. One second, Rabbi. Mendy, hold on one second. Mendy, hold on. Yeah. Rabbi Lapp, you have...
I wanted to ask a question about Midian. Midian was at least 10 million people. They had an army, a huge army. How is it that Moshe Rabbeinu only chooses Elef Lamato, 1,000 from each tribe? Why not take the 600,000 that you have at your disposal and have an attack that will be conclusive?
Why it's miraculous. Why that's why. 11,000? It's miraculous. It's a miracle. We didn't need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that won the war. He's Hashem Yosem Ish Mechama. That's who won it, not us. That's why.
The Meshech Chochma gives a beautiful, beautiful explanation. He said, actually, the others that he did not use were tainted from the Baal Peor. They were involved in the immorality that Bilam had proposed for them to do while they were in that camp. But these 12 were tzaddikim. Look at Rashi. That's what Rashi says. But there's another reason that Meshech Chochma gives, and that's beautiful. I think it's great. He says, why does it say twice? Elef Lamato. Elef Lamato. Why not once? So he says, one Elef Lamato were the combat soldiers. They were the infantry. They were the ones that started the attack. The other Elef Lamato, the other 12,000, they were praying to Hashem. They were praying to Hashem that these 12 that are fighting, that are infantrymen, they should succeed in their mission. How do we have a raya that there is always some praying involved? So they bring it for Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was fighting against the Amalek. And who helped them? Hur and Aaron. Both of them were standing next to him, holding his hands so that he could show victory against the Amalek. I think this is also maybe the reason why many yeshiva men are I don't know if they're excused or they're exempt from going into the military in Israel. Maybe that's their mission. Their mission is to pray for Israel, for its success, for victory. And the others, no, they're the armor, artillery, tank, whatever they do. That's why they have twice Elef Lamato.
Very nice. That's a beautiful pshat. Thank you, Rabbi Lapp. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rabbi Lapp. Thank you.
Rabbi.
Yes.
So you said over here that Moshe wrote everything down. So to remember everything. So it seems that this was a good thing. Did he also write things down when things didn't go so good in the Midbar? Because we know a lot of bad things happen. Or is it just that we should have an emphasis when something is good to remember it?
So it's a good thing, yeah. I think there's a value here that we're learning from.
Is there an emphasis only to remember the good and not to remember things that are not so good?
No, I think he wrote that. He wrote that everything. There was no whitewashing.
But why did we say it only over here when he was traveling from place to place, and in other places it's never said?
Well, he's saying that this teaches you about every place. He did this everywhere. You look at the what the Or HaKadosh are saying. He's like, no, he wrote down everything. Oh. Every single masa he wrote down. And it reflected, you know, he shared his memories. Why exactly? Good. We can only analyze. We can only conjecture. But that's it. The right. Last idea, last thought comes from Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab says the following. The last passing of Parashat Matos tells us, V'yar ben Menashe. Yar ben Menashe halach v'yokod es chavusehem. Yair ben Menashe overtook some cities, and he named the cities Chavos Ya'ir. He overtook cities, and he named them Chavos Ya'ir. And there was somebody else named Novach, right? I'm trying to highlight this. There's a guy named Novach. He also overtook cities, and he called the cities Novach in his name. Ya'ir called the cities Chavos Ya'ir, right? This is like Michael Glass going to war, winning over cities and calling them the cities of Michael, versus somebody calling them after their first name, calling them Harvey, right, after their name. So the Rashi points out here the following, that the Chavos Ya'ir, those cities, stayed forever. Those cities lasted. The cities of Novach were not miskayim, they didn't last. Okay? Now, why is that? Why is that? So Rav Schwab points out the following. He says, how do we relate to our possessions? We own a house. I own a car. I have a laptop. I have AirPods. I have the new iPhone 11. Right? How do I relate to the things that I own, to my possessions? Are they who we are? Do our possessions define who we are? Or are they tools to help us become who we are? But they're not who we are, the etzem. And he says here, Ya'ir and Novach had two different approaches in life. Ya'ir called the cities Chavos Ya'ir. They're cities that belong to me, but it's not who I am. They are my possessions. It's separate from me. They help me get things that I need. I can get more tzedakah if I own more property. I can grow more. I can have more time to learn. I can, right? As opposed to Novach, they're his name because that's who he became. His possessions defined who I am. They defined him in a very real way. And Rav Schwab goes on to say, that is not a Jewish approach. That is not the Jewish approach. Our possessions do not define who we are. What defines who we are? Our growth, our spirituality, our Yiddishkeit, our nachas that we get, and the decisions that we make. He writes here, what does David HaMelech say in Tehillim? Va'ani tefillah. Right? Va'ani tefillah. Sivach Hashem Yisrael. I am tefillah. Because when it comes to tefillah, we could say, I am. That's who I am. It's not my possession, it's who I am. Not Masha Inkain, our possessions. And that's how we will end today. I think it's a very important thought, especially in the culture that we live in today. Culture of America is all about consumerism. Moshe Feinstein, Zot Suchas Torah, we always have the ability to change. Our souls are never tainted. What is the role of a nether? To encapsulate and to embody, to bottle up our inspiration and to make it real. This was this Kelm, the beauty in Eretz Yisrael, how important it is. Every step that helps us get there is valuable. Number 4, the Or HaKayim HaKadosh. Moshe wrote down his life experiences and how important that and significant it is for each and every one of us. And finally, we'll skip the Kutz Rebbe, or Schwab, do our possessions define who we are? Absolutely not. That's not a Torah's way. That's the difference between Novach and between Yair. I wish everybody a wonderful and healthy and safe and special Shabbos.
Rabbi?
Yeah. Yes.
Rabbi Alpert, Zecher.